Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Theater Podcast. Happy 2023, if I haven't already said that to you. Happy New Year. Our guest today is Justin Robertson, a.k.a. Squiggs, who, if you're familiar with Broadway at all, or even West End or theater in other regions of the world, you probably have seen his caricatures, his illustrations, also one of the masterminds behind the Lights of Broadway cards. So for all you super collectors out there, this is going to be a great treat for you. He started out wanting to be an actor. He still performs, actually, but spends the majority of his time as an illustrator just because he's got so much talent. It's actually incredible just to watch him work. He is the guy known for making these theater-related illustrations these days, and he's got this new project now in Grand Central that you're going to hear all about, that he'll tell you this story. It's all about squash, and they're actually setting up a squash court in Grand Central Station if you're going to come by and be here anytime between January 18th and 26th. I want to go check it out. It's a squash court in the middle of Grand Central. Should be cool. All right, so as always, find me online, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you know the drill. Leave a rating, leave a review, tell your friends. It's how the word spreads. It's how the podcast grows. And everybody now, please enjoy this episode with Squiggs. Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here you go, one, two, three.
My guest today is an acclaimed illustrator and caricaturist specializing in capturing the ephemeral, I love that word, and collaborative ephemeral. art form of theater. He has been hailed by the New York Times as one of the Lion King heirs, carrying on the theatrical caricature traditions exemplified by legendary Times artist Al Hirschfeld. His illustrations have been seen regularly since 2010 as the Broadway Ink feature on Broadway.com. They've also appeared on the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, Variety, Playbill, Broadway Yearbook, Jennifer Ashley Tepper's Untold Stories of Broadway series, and in promotional campaigns for Actors Equity, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, the Theater World Awards, and theatrical productions in New York, London, and, you know, the rest of the world. He co-created the Lights of Broadway cards and designed and still designs every single card to this day. Justin Robertson, a.k.a. Squiggs, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
Hi there. How you doing?
Oh, my goodness. My hands are tired, cramping up just thinking about all of that.
I've been a little busy, I guess.
Well, I want to start with the Lights of Broadway cards because I think they're incredible. For those who don't know, they're like trading cards, baseball trading cards or comic book cards, whatever, for theater, for Broadway. And you have individual cards for actors, actresses, for shows. You do special events. I just don't know where this idea came from because it's phenomenal. And there are whole sections and Like it, at theater cons, Broadway Con and other similar ones, there's whole just groups. There's this passionate group of people who do nothing but trade these cards all day long, and they want the rare ones, and there's holograms and all sorts of stuff. So, like, back it up. Where did this idea even come from?
Oh, sure. Well, it kind of goes back to meeting our mutual friend, Dori Berenstein. For many years, I've taken part at the Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS flea market that happens in September, typically every year. And I would just sell, you know, artwork there and help raise money for the cause. And Dori's kids came by my booth one time and bought some prints. They took them home. Their dad, Mitchell, saw them and contacted me about doing a commission for Dori's birthday that year. And so Dori got the present, and then she invited me to lunch just to chat about projects. And we went to lunch at Sardi's, and
like you do.
And really, honestly, one of the first things we both kind of brought to the table was the idea of trading cards for Broadway. Both of us having, you know, collected baseball cards as kids and that sort of thing. But and it's been done over the years. I mean, Playbill has had some, you know, we used to put out cards with the each show's key art on it. Different shows have used it for promotional purposes, like Newsies and Tuck Everlasting and that sort of a thing. But yeah, it really hadn't been done in kind of an extensive format, you know. And so we started kicking around ideas. I, you know, worked on a design, and we came out with our first kind of a small edition in the summer of 2015, and started selling them online and in the stores like a Theater Circle on 44. And yeah, and then also just kicking them off that September at the flea market. And that was a time when a lot of kids were on Broadway. It was like School of Rock was in rehearsals. You know, Matilda was going. King and I was going up at Lincoln Center. So just a lot of kids on Broadway. And it was one of those things where, you know, we had them available at the flea market that year. And Dori and I were both there. And especially the School of Rock kids, they started like buying up multiple packs and then screaming out when they got cards, you know, like my favorite. And I had to turn away, and like tears came to my eyes because one kid goes, "I got Stephen Sondheim. He's the king." And I was like, "This is the coolest thing." And they kept like grabbing people walking by and saying, "Buy some packs so we can trade with you." You know, it was one of those things when I think both Dori and I just looked at each other and were like, "Oh, this is something," you know. And we're so grateful for those kids, including our pal Ian Armitage, who plays young Sheldon on the on the TV. He also kind of blew up our social media there at the beginning when he was just doing his theater, you know, his theater reviews. But yeah, that's grown into a big group of folks that collect the cards regularly, and we call them light catchers. They're lights of Broadway, light catchers. And they're all over the country. And they're actually, you know, people who have met each other through cards, either through trading online or coming to Broadway Con and meeting up for, you know, trading sessions. And you know, a lot of them will come into town and they'll all go see a show together and that sort of a thing. So it's really become really kind of a fun community, thing. So we're very happy with how that's gone.
That is so cool. And I think you failed to mention one of the important things is that most of the profit all goes back to charity, right?
Well, a lot of the profit does. Yeah. We have, in addition to, Broadway Cares and the Entertainment Community Fund, formerly known as Actors Fund, those are kind of regular beneficiaries of some of our profits. But we also have what's called the Giving Back Program. And it's each edition for now, I think probably like 8 or 9 editions. We've asked some various Broadway stars to pick a charity that they love. And then we make a special limited edition numbered and signed card of them. You know, some of the profits from the sales of those go to their charity. And we've had so many great charities over the years. Well, obviously Broadway Cares and Entertainment Community Fund, but charities having to do it, like Cancer Support Community with Jason Danieli and Maren Mazey. Covenant House has been the choice of a number of performers. Planned Parenthood, the Trevor Project. Currently we can talk about this in a bit, but we have a new edition that just came out in early December. This last year. And in this edition, our giving back stars are Adrian Warren, Bonnie Milligan, Gavin Creel and Joshua Henry on one card, Lilias White, Patrick Page, and Harvey Fierstein. So it's fun that those,
just a couple up-and-coming people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll do fine. so a bunch of those cards go into packs, and those can be found if, you know, you know, anywhere anyone collects these cards. And then we hold a number of them back for fundraising purposes, like if there's an auction or a, you know, some sort of a very special, you know, giveaway type situation. But yeah, that's been fun.
How long does it take you to draw? Like, once you have the idea, if you're like, all right, I'm going to go draw this brand new person who just made their debut in Anne Juliet or something, right? Like, how long does it take you to decide what you're going to draw?
Well, it honestly depends on, you know, what the final aim is. If it's like the cards with, I kind of call them headshot cards, you know, it's basically like head and shoulders type drawings. That'll, you know, that can take me just a really short time. You know, my process is to, you know, to pencil and ink up, and that's traditional, and then scan it into Photoshop and then do the coloring and assembly there. One thing that I did, I threw myself a curveball in this new edition, because on each of the headshot cards, I've put a space, a couple spaces for, since I've done a lot of drawings of a lot of these people that are on these cards, there is a space for like shows that I've drawn them in. So, you know, for instance, if it's Christian Borle has a card in this edition, and I think I have in the sidebars my drawings from Peter and the Starcatcher, and I want to say Something Rotten. I don't remember exactly which one that was, but so, you know, it kind of, it's a way also, in addition to kind of decorating the card more, it's a way to kind of utilize the, you know, the work that I've already done over the years. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. That's really neat to be able to throw back to that. And, you know, if you ever run out of content, which I don't think will ever happen, you can always go backwards in time from 2015 and go, you know, you could do like Tony winning special hologram cards or something, Tony winners.
Yeah.
From over the
yeah.
Year. That's my idea. You can have that.
Oh, thank you. Well, the hologram cards you're talking about, those are, it's a thing called lenticulars, and they're like, we call them tilt cards, where, you know, there's three images on each card and you tilt it and it changes. And we do have various, you know, various methods that we use for those. But in this edition, we have six of those in this current edition. One is themed around Six, the musical. We also have one that's Patti LuPone's, some of her key roles. We have 10 Pulitzer Prize winning musicals over the years. Obviously, that was kind of inspired by A Strange Loop being the 10th. We have a Sondheim celebration, which is kind of a static image of him, but like in the background changes with all the different shows that I've drawn of his over the years.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we have a Milky White card, you know, since that seemed to be one of the standout. The standout performances of this last year.
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
And then we have celebrating understudies. You know, we kind of took took a informal poll among some of people's favorite understudy and swing and standby performances over the years, and so, you know, we have everyone from Shirley MacLaine to, you know, Megan Mullally in Grease, and to, you know, Max Clayton, and you know, some of the great folks who have been keeping shows open recently. So yeah. It's fun to, you know, kind of just keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on and try to reflect that in what we put out in the cards.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So you were born and raised in Oregon, which naturally lends itself to drawing and Broadway, of course. So
of course.
Yeah. So I guess as a kid though, like you, how long were you in Oregon before moving to LA? Is that correct?
Yeah. No, I was 18 when I left, moved to LA. I went to college in Southern California, and then I was there for almost 20 years before I moved to New York, and I moved to New York in 2010. Oregon is, it's funny because you don't really find a lot of people in New York from Oregon.
No.
And Oregonians will often say they'd rather put a border wall, around the state, because especially for they don't want the Californians moving up there. And anyway, but it's
Californians.
Yeah, they're bringing their avocado toast. But yeah,
milk and their olives. Wait, what else does California have? I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
But there are a few of us from Oregon, which is pretty cool. One being Shoshana Bean. Another being Brooks Ashmanskas.
Love that dude.
Gesundheit. David Larson, who was in Hands on a Hard Body, and there are a few of us. Haley Kilgore, who starred as Timon in the revival of Once on This Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some Oregonians. We're thinking of starting a club.
Where did the drawing come in? Were you drawing before you were 18? Like as a kid, did you have a knack for this? Because I still try to draw as a 42-year-old and I can't do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was always something that I did. It was just fun. My dad is very creative. His medium is often, woodworking, and he's all amazing at he can fix anything. He's one of these people who's like creatively minded in that way. But he also draws, and he one of the things that he did as we were growing up to get a new set of tires for his truck or something else, he would barter for like sign work. He would do painted and routed signs for businesses. And I always kind of watched him, creating stuff and drawing. And so that was kind of an inspiration. And then my folks, saw that I had an interest in it. And so they got me some art lessons when I was a kid. So I took some classes from a lady named Greta Morley, who was the wife of the preeminent lawyer in town. And she had a studio on the second floor of a building in downtown. And so I got to go up a steep and very narrow stairway to paint some watercolors, back in the day. And so that was that's a nice influence on me, and kind of just fostered a love for putting images on paper. And then once I was in high school and then moving on to college, I just started doing that thing that so many artists do where they just draw their friends and to make them laugh. And when I started doing theater, I started drawing, my fellow cast members as like closing night gifts. And that started a tradition, which, I mean, I still have until today. If I do a show, I'll draw my cast mates as a reminder, a memento. But that graduated into people asking me to draw their shows that I wasn't necessarily in. And then eventually, getting emails from folks working in New York on shows. And then I started just putting it out there on Facebook and whatever, and trying to give myself the assignment of doing a drawing every week, related to theater. And that's what Paul Wontorek and the gang at Broadway.com saw. We met up one year at the Broadway flea market, it's full circle. He asked if I'd be interested in doing a regular feature for them. And so, started with them. I used a show. I went to do a show called Route 66 in Milwaukee, and used that contract, to move me and some of my stuff up to New York in 2010. And then started in June of that year with Broadway.com doing a regular feature. So that's kind of how it rolled out here. That's what finds me in the Big Apple. So
wait. So I had already always just assumed that you moved to New York wanting to be an illustrator. But it sounds like, if I'm reading between the lines, that you want to be an actor. Was that the primary driver at first? Or what did you want to do? What did you go to school for?
My degree is in communications. when I started school, I was a film major. film emphasis. And halfway through my college career, as it were, I switched to the emphasis of drama because that's where the money is.
Of course.
So yeah, my degree is in communications, emphasis in drama.
So you've always wanted to be, I guess, on the stage, right? Then, or in front of the camera, on the stage, or whatnot. And then, like, this illustration gig has just blown up.
Yeah, it became a thing, and like there were many years where, you know, one year I'd you know make more money, you know, acting, and then the next year I'd make more money with the illustration kind of thing, and I just, you know, I found, I mean, I still perform now and then, you know, it's been a while since I've done a full production. I've done a few like table reads and staged readings and that sort of thing, working with various folks here in town, but yeah, it's kind of, you know, fallen a bit along the wayside because the illustration is where I'm kind of most singular, you know, and most unique, I think. You know, I spent a few years working for Disneyland. I was a sub in the Dapper Dan's Barbershop Quartet.
Aww.
And I was in the original cast of Snow White, an enchanting new musical. which was pretty fun. I mean, you know, our director was Eric Schaefer, from who was, you know, formerly from a Signature Theater in Arlington, and his choreographer Karma Camp, and we had all a bunch of you know Broadway folks in the cast. It was kind of a surreal world, but yeah.
What do you like doing now? I mean, because it seems like the bulk of your day, to me, seems like it's still drawing and illustrating, right? And are
Of course.
Yeah. So are you still looking for those opportunities to do any sort of performing work, or is that sort of just like, oh, if it happens, it happens, or are you actively still pursuing that?
You know, I haven't really been actively pursuing it. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm kind of itching to get back to doing something on stage. I mean, the biggest thing I've done here in New York, I mean, I've worked with like the Gingold Group, who does a lot of Shaw readings, which I did an evening of the play Major Barbara with them, which was fun. But the biggest thing I've done nearby is a revised version of Cole Porter's Can Can. We did that at Paper Mill, and that was Jason Danieli and Kate Baldwin and Michael Barres, Megan Sikora, Greg Hildreth. It was just a fun group, and it didn't go anywhere, but we had fun doing it. It was about the time when Gigi was on its way back to Broadway, you know, mm-hmm. and also directed by Eric Schaefer, I believe, who directed me in Snow White Land. But and then also American in Paris was right about then. And there are, you know, various reasons why things don't come in, as we all know. But yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
Well, it's interesting to me as well is that, you know, I think it's, you embrace opportunity when it comes to you and can grow and just kind of like, I feel like the drawing is there and it's so second nature to you that it's like, oh yeah, I'll just do another drawing. It's fine. And so that sort of leads me to this Grand Central, what is it? The JP Morgan Tournament of Champions, a squash tournament or something that's happening this January 18th, I think it begins, right? Like next week or something as we're recording this.
Yeah, it's there are some projects that are just sort of outside my regular zone that sometimes, you know, fall in my lap. I mean, this one, it's an international squash tournament that happens in Grand Central Terminal. They set up a squash court in Vanderbilt Hall.
Oh, like inside the Grand Central? Wow, okay.
Yeah, so if you walk in the front entrance, you know, and that first hall, they often have like holiday markets or food courts or whatever.
Yeah.
That they set up a squash court there and you know stands, and they have a tower where all the press hangs out and stuff. And I was doing working on a project a number of years ago, and the guys who are the camera crew, the media guys, one of them is the multimedia guy for the squash tournament. And as they were looking ahead to the 25th anniversary of this New York City based tournament, they wanted to kind of have a very kind of a New York-y vibe to the artwork, you know, and stuff. And so they reached out to me and invited me to come watch a match, you know, and I thankfully had someone sitting next to me explaining the sport, because I knew next to nothing about squash. I thought, oh, that's kind of another racquetball, you know, and it essentially is, because there's a racket and a ball, but there's
it's another tennis too, by that logic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pickleball. But yeah, and it's really such an amazing sport. There's, in addition to the amazing like physical, you know, demands of the sport. It's such a strategy sport, and strategy that decisions are made like in split seconds. It's really, really pretty insane, you know, just how amazing the sport is. And one of the things that it was my connection to drawing something that would represent this thing is that it's really kind of like a dance, you know, that there's very much, it almost feels like it's choreographed, just the way the two players will like, you know, jockey around each other to get to the ball and that sort of a thing. And it's, and you know, you'll have people, you know, leaping in the air and people lunging to the ground and almost doing the splits. It's like, it's really, there's really such a grace and agility, very physically demanding kind of a thing to the sport. So yeah, this artwork, I've created key art for this tournament that you'll see plastered all over Vanderbilt Hall. And it's essentially squash players kind of leaping over and lunging around New York City landmarks. You know, there's obviously Grand Central is involved and the Chrysler Building and the Empire State, the Brooklyn Bridge and Statue of Liberty, One World Trade, having, you know, a little, you know, Times Square billboards and some, a little bit of Central Park and a bunch of taxi cabs.
Is there like a standard intake form or something when someone comes to you and they're like, I want you to draw some squash players, and you're like, okay, cool, that's all I need to know? Or do you sit down and is there like, you know, approval upon approval where you got to go meet with the CEO of this and the executive marketing director of that to get, I just don't know this whole world of not theater. So it's fascinating.
And that's
to
the
me.
Thing. You know, these kind of projects don't come to me on a regular basis. One other example that I'll mention in just a bit was something that was fun. But this one, I sat and watched a few matches, and I just took random like gesture sketches, really rough sketches, trying to find, you know, a kind of a visual way in. And then also, you know, we did have Zoom meetings between, you know, the heads of the organization. You know, talking about what they wanted. And, you know, once I was able to get something down on paper that I thought that they were looking for, they were like, oh yeah, that's it. So it's kind of fun. It's, you know, I did some hand lettering for the title of the title 25 Years of Squash in Grand Central. The main artwork that you'll see in Vanderbilt Hall, if you happen to drop by, is going to be on some t-shirts, you know, and so it's, you know, it's kind of, there will be four large banners in the Grand Hall of Grand Central, where it's part of it is the four top finishers from last tournament. They're featured in photographs. And then I did like kind of headshots of these four that go on these enormous banners, that hang, you know, on either side of the, you know, like the American flag and the Grand Hall. And I think it's like the one time a year that they allow these kind of banners to hang there, which is kind of odd. But
that's,
it's truly
pretty cool.
It's an international tournament. The four top finishers from last year, two were from Egypt, one was from Peru, and one is American.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
Or is one able to trademark an illustration style like Larson? What's Jim Larson? Gary Larson, who drew the Far Side comics. Like you
Far
can
Side,
look,
yeah.
Yeah. So you can look at a Far Side and be like, oh, I know that. That's a thing. Or the style of Garfield, you know, that sort of thing. Like when I see your work out in the wild, I'm like, that's a Squiggs. I know Squiggs is you know, like, definitely, I know your style. Is that legally permissible? Do people do that? Or, often imitated, never duplicated? How's that all work?
Well, I think that it's, you know, I don't think you can trademark a style. Because honestly, everyone's style is kind of a, you know, it's like influences, times, particular mindset and upbringing, and, you know, it's a combination of a lot of, you know, things. You know, I mean, with my work, it's like I obviously over the years have like tried to pay tribute to Al Hirschfeld, who's, you know, kind of, you know, the be all and end all when it comes to entertainment caricature, but I really tried to make something my own. There's also an amazing contemporary of Hirschfeld, who's also passed since, but Sam Norkin, who I think my work kind of mimics his style a bit more. It's a bit more you know, pointy angles and, you know, a bit more geometric. And Al's grasp of anatomy and stuff kind of comes through a bit more, and mine's a bit more stylized kind of a thing. Yeah, I think when it comes to styles, people, you know, they just say, you know, borrow or steal from the best, you know, and while everyone wants to, you know, have their own voice, you know, as it were, you know, you can always say that someone has been influenced by someone else. So
I think it, you know, it pays tribute to the grace that came before you, and you're laying the path for those who come after you. And have you had others that have shown you their work or tried to like draw yours? I imagine there could be like a whole contest that Lights of Broadway could do, right? Of like, draw your version of this set of cards or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. I have been approached by people that, you know, especially I love when people, you know, email me or message me and just ask for their, you know, for, you know, any advice, or they want to show me something, and I'm like, oh yeah, cool, yeah, I love that. I love being able to, I mean, obviously it's an honor when someone thinks that I'm, you know, worthy of getting my, you know, opinion on something, so I don't take that for granted. Yeah, it's a funny world, and, you know, I think some of my approach to this is kind of, I never want to stop learning. You know, a few years back, I saw that there was a class being given at the School of Visual Arts here in town, and by an illustrator that I very much admire, Steve Brodner, who's his kind of main claim to fame is he's a like a political illustrator, but he's also he's a fantastic caricaturist, and so I took a couple of classes from him, and you know, we just hit it off, and it was great. It was one of those moments where I'm like, oh man, I've admired this guy's work for so long, and now I'm, you know, we're drawing in the same room, and he's had me back to chat to some of his other classes and stuff. I'm getting ready to take a 2-hour intensive class, the Society of Illustrators, which is featuring James McMullen, a well-known poster artist for Lincoln Center, and so there's a bit of a drawing session and stuff, and it's an excuse for me to meet him, because I just admire that guy's work so much. His work over the years is just legendary, and so yeah, you know, I try to keep shoving stuff in my brain and seeing what comes out.
Oh, I highly respect that. That's something that I want to continue to do as well, just for a purely biological reason of trying to make sure my brain doesn't calcify as I age, right?
Yeah.
If you stop trying to learn, then your brain lets you stop trying to learn. You literally lose the ability to do that. So total respect for all of that. And I feel like people in the creative industry too are less likely to probably fall into that trap anyway, because you have to break your routine all the time to try new things and to sometimes stay relevant, or like, you're doing the same overall motion you're illustrating, but like the shows are always changing, and the casts are always changing, and the movements are always changing, and the charities are always changing. So like, you're still illustrating, but you can always learn something new and add something different to something you've already been perfecting for so long. There's never an end.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And you know, I'm kind of at the point where, you know, I've been in New York for in May, it'll be 13 years, doing a lot of the same work, you know, type of work over and over again. And so I'm trying to find ways to mix it up. So, you know, one thing that was that recently happened, and it was a kind of a born from the pandemic, but I illustrated a cookbook called Give My Swiss Charge to Broadway. And it's authored by, right. It's Dad Joke Central. It's great.
I love it.
And the recipes were written by esteemed food writer Adam Roberts, and the copy, the facts and the fun stuff about the show were it was written by Gideon Glick, and then I did the illustration for 50 recipes, and that just came out this last fall.
So what's that called?
Give My Swiss Chards to Broadway.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And it features recipes such as Chicken Breast Side Story, Little Chop of Horrors, the Clam's Visit.
Please tell me more.
Ham Stilton.
Oh my God. Okay. There will be a link for this book in the show notes. Go there now, get this book. And I need it just for the dad jokes, because...
Oh, it's great. Yeah. And it's full of it. Also, each recipe comes with a listening guide, stuff you can put on, the stereo or your MP3 player, whatever the kids are listening to these days. For instance, if you're doing Little Chop of Horrors, the playlist will be additional stuff by Ashman and Mencken that you can listen to. Or, it's really super fun. Funyun Home.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's just a chorus lime pie. it's really
fun. Have you made any of these recipes yourself?
I haven't, but we had a book launch we did a book signing at the Drama Book Shop, and then we had a kind of an opening night launch party at Joe's Pub, and someone made Wickadoodles, which are it's snickerdoodles themed from Wicked, and one of the key ingredients is matcha tea. So it's like, so the cookies come out green.
Oh my goodness.
They also have a bit of a caffeine kick. So it was very tasty.
Would you get endorsed by something like Lin-Manuel Miranda or something, right?
Yeah. Well, that the whole thing started, and it was because of a tweet. It was Gideon who tweeted out something like, it was writing a kid's book about Bernadette Pizza or something, it was. And so I think he and Adam knew each other, but they connected based on that. And I just tweeted back. I just said, hey, let me illustrate this. And that's then, it was months later that I got an email from Gideon saying, hey, we're thinking about making this a cookbook. And, would you be interested in, working up some illustrations for it? At that time, it was just pitching it to publishers. And so we did six recipes, that kind of fully realized recipes, and I put together a mock-up of what the book could, or the pages could look like, kind of a thing, and eventually landed a publisher. And so
so cool. All right, I'm totally getting that book. Let's wrap this up with three questions I ask everyone to end the episodes. The first one, just very simply, is what motivates you?
Wow. Like my first word that came to mind was creation. That's so
oh, it's cool.
It's making something, whether or not something is that I'm putting out there has been done before or not, it's something that's done in a fresh way, by me, just because, it's my hand and my pen and, or pixels that are making something. But yeah, the art of creation, I think it's something that, also celebrating creation is a big thing for me. I love the collaboration of theater and just how many people, make up the fabric of what ultimately is seen on stage. And then also the fabric of the contribution of the audience to that, just live theaters, there's nothing like it.
Oh, I love that. What advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now, starting out down a similar path?
Wow. I would say pay attention more. I think, sometimes, especially when you're young, life is just going by so quickly, and everyone's absorbing information and all kinds of things as fast as they can. But I think that kind of the key to any creative endeavor is really paying attention. It's keeping your eyes and ears open, seeing what works, and reminding yourself of where something has come from. If you're preparing to do a role and there's a word that you're not familiar with, look it up. If there's an artist that you like, look up as much of their work as possible and learn where they were influenced from, and that sort of a thing. So I think it's just, be curious is probably what I would say. Be more curious.
All right, last question then. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
That's a tricky one. I'm sure everyone says that. But I'm such a Sondheim nut, and there's just such a wealth in each of his pieces. And, I think it would be between Sunday in the Park with George, in the cookbook, Sunday in the Pork with George. Or Sweeney Todd, which also in the cookbook, Weenie Todd's.
Weenie Todd's, yeah.
Weenie Todd's, yes. But between Sweeney Todd and Sunday in the Park with George, those are kind of my thing. I would probably lean a bit towards Sunday. You know, just it's a show that kind of speaks to, you know, both of my creative worlds. So I think that's probably it.
Brilliant. All right. You can get more of me in episodes like this at thetheaterpodcast.com. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. It's all out there. Listen and follow the podcast. Leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening now. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and outro music. And Squigs, man, this has been so much fun. We've been like passing each other in circles for so long, and we've never gotten sat down and like really talk. I love this.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.